Amen. It's good to be back again tonight, isn't it? I tell you what, the singing has been good today. I've enjoyed the singing, appreciated the singing. And I tell you what, I thought we had a new song leader tonight, didn't y'all? Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. You know, teenagers that you can joke and go on with, and they enjoy it. But you know, there's that crowd that they've got a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
And they don't want to be at church.
Yeah.
But I thank God for God's children that love Him and
Amen.
Want to do His will.
Yes,
and
sir.
Want to serve Him and puts forth an effort to do a good job of it.
Yes.
Amen. If you have your Bibles now, Hebrews chapter number 9, and I want to begin reading with verse number 27 for the scripture reading that we feel that the Lord has laid upon our hearts to try to bring to you tonight. And I don't know how long I preached this morning, but I usually just preach till I get through, amen.
Yes, sir.
And I remember I was at a children's home. It was a girls' home down in Louisiana, Brother Mac Ford. And I used to preach revival meetings for him. And I remember one night God just broke my heart over them girls. And I preached, and I thought, well, it's getting about an hour. I better be trying to quit. We had several saved that night, and we went over to Brother Ford's trailer to get a snack after the service. He said, I bet you ain't never preached that long before. And I said, yeah, I usually preach about an hour. He said, an hour? I said, it's 3 hours and 15 minutes you preached. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if my preaching got them under conviction or I just worried the devil out of them. Amen. All right, if you would, let's stand, please, in reverence to the reading of the Word of God tonight. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27. Let's pray first. Father, we come before you tonight in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we come tonight, we ask you if there be any glory or any honor. Lord, I pray that, Father, that you'd give it to our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all the praise. And Lord, we pray now if there's those that are here that's lost, or God, those that are out listening by the way of radio, I pray, dear God, that, Lord, that you would convict them, draw them unto you, and save their souls. Lord, we realize that time is coming to an end, coming to a close, and judgment is coming to America. Lord, we pray now that, God, that you would reach down and help and bless. Anoint me tonight and allow me to preach by thy sweet Holy Spirit. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Remain standing, please, while we read the scripture. Verse number 27, the Bible said, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You can be seated now. Very, very familiar verses of scripture here. And he said, and as it is appointed unto man once to die. Do you know that we're all facing judgment?
Yes, sir.
I can remember the first person that I ever really remember dying. Now, I remember that my grandma Parson died, but I couldn't remember nothing about it, but I could remember her. I had an uncle that he was a policeman there in Chatsworth, Georgia. And he, only thing I can remember him about is seeing him in his uniform. But I remember the night that he died. I remember that I said he was a policeman. There was a man by the name of Howard Rice. Howard had, I'm not sure if it was a wooden leg or what it was. But I can remember him preaching on the street corner there in Chatsworth. There was a big oak tree. And he would preach every Saturday morning, and a big crowd would gather to hear him preach. And he got to preaching against the beer joint across down the street a little ways, and the picture show, he got to preaching against that. So they told him that he couldn't preach out there anymore. The mayor sent the police out there to tell him not to come back. And he told him, he said, "Fellers, God told me to come out here," and said, "unless he tells me different, I'll be back next Saturday."
Amen.
And you know, in a little bitty town like Chatsworth, news spreads fast. Amen. And I'll tell you, probably never been that many people in Chatsworth before. Everybody come see what happened. And, I can see him now. He had them big old, anybody ever remember them big old horns they'd put on top of the car for speakers? He had two of them, one pointed one direction and one pointed another direction. And his microphone had a little cord on it. And he'd go from one end of that cord to the other, hobbling up and down through there preaching. And he started preaching. And the mayor said, "Arrest him." And they started towards him. And he stopped and pointed his finger towards him. He said, "Fellers, I'm God's man." And said, "If you mess with me, God'll get you." Amen. They turned to walk back, and the mayor went up there and held out his hand and said, "If you don't arrest him, give me your badges." They turned around and went back, and as they started to put Howard Rice in the jail, he raised back up and he said, "Fellers, God told me to tell you I was going to still be preaching when all of you are dead and in hell." And in a year's time, Chatsworth only had three policemen, and all of them had to work on Saturday because everybody come to town. And within a year's time, all three of those policemen died. And if my memory serves me right, my uncle was the last one to die. He had an attack of appendicitis. They operated on him, and it set up gangrene, and he died. I remember one of them had been shot before, and they left the bullet in him, and somewhere or another, that bullet set up infection, and he died. And I can't really remember what happened to the other one. But those are my first memories of death.
Yeah.
A neighbor boy, when we were young, I remember him getting run over and killed. And back when we were in school, a lot of boys had fast cars. Fast cars was the big thing. Now back then there wasn't as much traffic, but you wouldn't last very long. But a lot of my friends got killed in those fast cars. And I can't even remember all of them's name. And even in grammar school, I remember old Robert, me and him was just friends. We just struck it off, and we was in the same grade every year. Now, back in the baby boomers, we had, each class had three classes, and probably each grade would probably have 100 people in there, because they was plenty kids back then. Amen? He got run over, a horse got spooked and run out in front of a car and killed him. And just, you know, you think back and you can think of so many people We lived across the road from a wrecker service, and they done body work. And a lot of people would get killed on the highway. They've redone the highway now. But just all the time, they were bringing in people that was getting killed, bringing their cars. But death, all of us can think back on death. Loved ones,
yep.
Friends, neighbors, family members. And death is just a part of our lives.
Yep.
We live not knowing when we're going to die. Somebody's going to be next, and it could be us.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
I'm thinking that there's somewhere around 130-something people that dies every minute. Now, those are old statistics, no telling what it is now. But, you know, one day our number is going to come up.
Right.
You know, it may not seem very important to you right now, sitting here, how you're going to die. But I guarantee you one thing. When you start to die, friend, regardless if you're saved or lost, you're going to want to know that you're going to face God right.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, I've always feared the judgment seat of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to face it. We're going to give an account. It ain't no, it ain't none of this business lying your way out of it. You know, when you're a kid, you lie your way out of things, but that day when we stand before God, it's going to all be revealed.
Right.
And I wonder, how will we die? How are you going to die? What kind of condition? I want to say that I believe that there's four ways. Or we could say four places, spiritually speaking, that a man, a woman, a boy, or girl will die. First of all, I believe a man can die in Egypt. Now, Egypt is a type of the world. It's a type of dying lost without God. And the majority is on the broad road.
Right.
Are you listening? And then, secondly, I believe a man can die in the wilderness.
Yep.
Now, the wilderness is a type of dying out of the will of God.
Right.
The children of Israel was in bondage in Egypt. God brought them, took them across the Red Sea, which was a type of salvation. And they murmured and complained. I sort of believe they must have been Baptist.
Yeah.
Amen. They murmured and complained and murmured and complained. And God turned them around and took them back in the wilderness and killed them there. And every man except two, Joshua and Caleb, God killed every man over the age of 20.
Right.
They didn't want to go across Jordan. They didn't want to go fight the enemy.
Right.
They didn't want to fight the enemies of God. And so everybody that was of age to be a soldier, God killed them.
Yep.
Amen. God killed them. And then thirdly, I believe a man can die in Babylon. Now, Babylon in the Word of God is confusion. You'd be surprised how many people died today in religion. They belonged to a church. They were baptized somewhere. How many people that made a little profession of faith that never really, truly got saved by the grace of God. And they're dying with no peace in their heart. Maybe laying on a hospital bed or somewhere on the street somewhere. And they're dying and wondering, Where am I going to? Where am I going to spend eternity? And then fourthly, you can die in Canaan. Canaan is a type of the victorious Christian life.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I tell you, I want to die right, friend.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. I may not be much, but I tell you what, you know, the Lord gives rewards for being faithful.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know, there's a lot of things that I can't do. I don't know how to do them. I don't have the education a lot of people's got. Amen. They have all of these abilities. But God gave them abilities. But let me tell you something. God rewards a person for being faithful.
Amen.
You don't have to be real smart to be faithful.
That's right.
Amen. Just give yourself to God and do the best that you can, and you'll receive a reward from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. God help us today. I want to preach just for a little while tonight on how will you die. I'd like to leave some illustrations with you so that you can get a picture of what I'm trying to tell you. First of all, dying in the wilderness. You know, you'd be surprised how many people that's sat on a church pew all of their life. Many of them rejecting the Lord dealing with them and trying to get them to come because He loves them, and people are praying for them, and God desires to answer their prayers, but they'll not yield and they'll end up dying in Egypt.
Yep.
I remember when I first started preaching, I used to go out in the country to a little church and used to go out there and preach. Old fella, I used to go out there and preach for it. Now, a lot of the mountain preachers smoked. He smoked them cigarettes. And he lived up in the mountains. Now, I like to go up there and pray with him. He's a praying man. All he talked about was Jesus.
Amen.
He'd light them cigarettes up with tears streaming down his face and talk about Jesus. Amen. Now, I couldn't have done that. God would kill me on the spot. Amen. He used to tell me, he said, "Now, Bill, if God ever tells me to quit smoking, I'll quit." And I found that hard to believe because he dealt with me pretty strong about it. Amen. But old Brother Jack, I went up there and he was sick. He'd been sick. And he told me, he said, I hadn't noticed that he wasn't lighting up a cigarette and smoking. He said, "Bill," said, "the other day God told me to quit smoking." He said, "And I quit, and I've not even wanted one." Amen.
Amen.
And then just a few days after that, he died. Amen. But you know, all them years, he smoked them cigarettes. And I know people done him the same way they done me. When I'd witness to him, they'd say, "Well, I'm just as good as you are. I don't smoke."
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. But I remember going down, and I'd preach for him pretty regular, and the song leader that led to singing, I think he was a deacon there, and his wife played the piano, and they was two of the dearest, sweetest Christians you could ever meet. You know, just old country folk. And they had a teenage boy, and that teenage boy sat in the straight chair right over next to the wall. Every time I was ever there, I never asked anybody why he sat there. And even when his parents went to sit where they sat, I don't remember where they sat, but I do remember where that boy sat, because he always sat there. Never would say nothing. He just sat there. I remember preaching there many a times and giving the invitation. And that old-fashioned mama would get up off of that piano stool And she'd go over there and get him by the feet. And she'd beg in tears and just wet his shoes and his feet, begging that boy to come and to get saved. That boy would just sit there. It didn't seem like, I couldn't understand it. He just wouldn't say nothing to her. He'd just sit there. Their church burnt. They never did build back. I heard one day that that boy and his girlfriend had gone out parking on they built in a subdivision, and it was cold that night, and they had left the motor running, and the fumes had overtaken them from the old car, and both of them died that night. I remember going to the funeral. You know, when young people die, a lot of people go to the funeral. Yeah. I remember going, his mama was there greeting people at the head of the casket. She saw me and she just started crying. And I remember she was talking about him being in heaven. And I asked her, I said, "Sister, when did he get saved?" She looked at me so confused and said, "Brother Parson, don't you know my little boy has always been saved?" That mother lost her mind. Yeah. She could not face the fact that her boy had rejected God and died and went to hell, lost without God. As far as anybody knows, that boy never did get saved.
Right.
Hey. I wonder how many young people have sat in the church praying for them, their parents praying for them, but they still sneak around and do their things. I remember our county's school superintendent wanted to talk to me, so we went and eat lunch one day, and he was going to try to talk me out of homeschooling. And he said, "You know, your kids need the interaction with other kids." I said, "As far as I'm concerned, my kids get the right interaction with the right kids."
Right.
He said, "Well, they won't learn anything about life." I said, "Listen here." I said, "My kids learn more in the parking lot of the church than I care for them knowing."
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, man. You know what he said? He said, "You're right."
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That same fella used to be a football coach. He used to bring his pastor there every year and tell us about the Lord. Hey, man. It'd been pretty hard for him to deny that, wouldn't it?
Right.
Hey, man. But here, this boy died. All kinds of opportunity. Died there. I think they still go to Faith Baptist Camp. This couple, they go every year and they work all day long in the dining hall, and then they go to service of the night. They do that every camp meeting, and they do it all week long. And in August they bring their young people. And this lady, she told me, she said, "Our pastor's son is here." And she says, I believe God's dealing with him. He's lost. Said, "We've all been praying for him." And he'd gone outside the tabernacle, sitting on the front steps. She showed me who he was. And I went out there and tried to talk to him. You ever witnessed to somebody and it just seemed like they're just get away from me? I want you to leave me alone. That's sort of the way he was acting. He never did say that. But they went back home. And somebody gave that boy and his daddy, which was the pastor, an old boat. They took it over to a lake to see if it would float. And while they was putting the boat in the water, there's some rough-looking boys pulled up. And the daddy said, "You watch the boat. I'm going to move the car around here so we can watch it." When his daddy come around, the boat was turned upside down, and the boy was gone, and the daddy or the boy, neither one could swim. Mm. They pulled him out of the lake later on that day. And you know what? As far as anybody knows, that boy never got saved. Mm. I'm talking, they said his daddy was a good preacher, good man. His mama was good people. But he kept rejecting the Lord. Mm-hmm. There may be somebody here tonight in this building or listening by the way of radio that the Holy Ghost time and time again has spoke to your heart and tried to get you to come, and you kept refusing to follow the Lord, and maybe one day you'll end up like this young boy. Going out into eternity, most likely lost.
Yep.
You know, I look back on my younger life, and I look at the times that I just almost got killed. Now, I won't go into them. But I look back, and you know, if I'd have got killed, I'd have been in hell today. Amen.
Yes.
And you know what? They're going to be a lot of them that's going to be there on that day. And they're going to try to convince the Lord that they were really saved.
Yep.
Amen? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, if you've not become that new creature in Christ Jesus, you didn't make the mark.
Right.
Amen? Amen? I made two or three professions of faith, and then I was back doing what I was doing before in a few days. That Saturday night, 51 years ago, coming up on 51 years ago, that night, sister, when I got there, I knelt in the corner of that old garden that was growed up in briars. And that night I come to the end of myself, and I give myself to the Lord.
Amen.
Always before, I just prayed and said, Lord, don't let me go to hell, don't let me go to hell, don't let me go to hell. But what I should have been doing is giving myself to the Lord,
right,
to live for Him and serve Him.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, friend. If they wasn't a change in your life, I changed the way I talked, I changed the words that I used.
Yep.
Amen. And I'll not go into the things that I went into or that I done. But I tell you what, I become a new creature.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know, all these years and people still can't believe that that mean little old parson boy got saved. Had a friend in school. He went on to become a federal judge. His daddy was a judge and he went to law school and was a lawyer, and then he become a judge, and then he become a federal judge. And I used to meet him going into the post office. He'd always go to the post office. And he'd stop me every time, and he'd say, Bill, I can't believe that you're a preacher. he just couldn't get over that. But you know, I found out that God is in the business of saving sinners.
Amen.
Huh?
That's right.
He's not particular about who He saves.
Yeah.
Now you can die lost in Egypt if you want to. Let me tell you, there ain't nothing in this world worth dying and going to hell for. There ain't nothing in this world that would be worth spending 10 seconds in hell.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then secondly, you can die in the wilderness. And you know, I find that that's where most people die, is in the wilderness, out of the will of God, doing their thing. When God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt and brought them through the Red Sea, which is a type of salvation. Then he brought them going to take them on over into Canaan. They rebelled.
Yep.
Hmm. Matter of fact, they had already complained all the way and murmured. Hmm. I look at so many people. I'm talking about people. And I really feel like they were saved. Oh boy. We went to school together. He married this girl. She was trouble. Of course, he was trouble too when they first got married. But he got saved, and she went to church with him for a little while. And then she didn't want nothing to do with church. She told him, said, "It's either me or the church." You know which one he chose? Her. Mm-hmm. It wasn't long till she left him. I remember one Saturday on visitation, God had laid on my heart that week to go visit Albert. And I remember I went over to his mother's house, and I can see it just like it was yesterday. There's a little old bank there up from the road, probably about this high. He was standing there beside the power pole. And I told him what God told me to tell him. "Albert, if you don't get right with God, God's going to kill you." He stood there with tears just streaming down his face, crying. He wouldn't talk to me, but God was dealing with his heart. I remember walking down that bank and getting in my car and leaving. That was on Saturday. The next day, I heard that he went to his church and he got right with God. They shouted the house down.
Amen.
Boy, Albert, everybody was praying for him. And he just the type of fella that everybody loved Albert. A month or so later, Albert was back in the car with the old boys again. They had a wreck. Albert got killed. Funeral director was telling me about it, said his head went out the window and the post right behind his head, they shaved a pine tree, a little pine tree, and it just clipped the top of his head off just right above his eyes. There was another boy that we went to school with, was in that car. At one time, he said God called him to preach. And he ended up under the car, and the car drug him and drug his guts out behind the car. Three old lost boys in that car didn't so much as get a scratch. Hey, judgment day.
Yep.
I'd hate for God to kill me because I wouldn't serve him, wouldn't you?
Yep.
I'd hate to know. I'd hate to know that I wanted this world so bad that I'd end up getting killed for it. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
sir. Are you listening to me? God help us. Here, God, I believe God killed him. God told me to go tell him he's going to kill him. And God done what he said. Hello? The fella, he's a little bit older than me, but I can remember when he was wild, he got saved. And he started preaching. And then he started pastoring church. And I used to go preach for him all the time. I can remember going and preaching for him. Church is growing and doing good. Him and a couple of fellas in the church started a carpet mill. They were doing good. But God laid it on Ed's heart to go full time for the Lord. And some of them little old Southern Baptist churches, they sure wasn't going to give no preacher. They sure wasn't going to pay no preacher to preach, they'd say.
Yeah.
And they, he knew that if he'd probably split the church if he went full time. So he chose. He told me several times, Bill, I'm going to sell out here pretty soon. And I'm going to have enough money that I'll never, ever have to be yielding to anybody. Especially a bunch of deacons. Old church had been there for years and years, and the deacons had run the church. But you know what? He ended up losing the church. He ended up losing the carpet business. He had a little old farm. He ended up losing it. He lost his wife. Are you listening? Last time I talked to him, Bobby Brindle was having a tent meeting in Chatsworth. And Ed dropped by right before service. He told me, he said, Bill, he said, I'd give anything in the world if God would just let me preach one more time. He said, but I've disqualified myself. He said, God will never use me again. That's the last time I saw him. The next time I saw him, that wife that he had left was standing at the foot of his casket greeting the people. Are you listening? I mean, had everything and just threw it away. I witnessed to many a people. They'd say, yeah, but look at old Ed. I'd be just like him. Does people look at you and say that? I tell you what, I want to die right. If you were to die today, what would be the scenario in your life? How would things be with you? How would people look at you? I tell you, when this dope crowd shoots one another and they kill one another, they've always, all of them's always going to heaven. But you, as a child of God, when you get killed, you know what? They're just going to run you in the ground and tell how sorry you was. I saw it time and time again. So many people. This one preacher, his church is over 200 years old. And I went and preached a meeting for him. And do you know? No, I won't tell that. But anyway, people got to getting saved. He got mad. He got mad because people was getting saved. Because I was preaching against singing. And he tried to close out the weekend. Close out on the weekend. But the church wouldn't let him. We run half the week the next week. And he shut it down. He was mad because I preached against singing. He told some people that got back to me that he'd never let Billy Parson preach for him again. Several years went by, and he came from Pennsylvania to Faith Baptist Camp. Matter of fact, I had to go to Arkansas that week. He went with me to Arkansas. Left his wife and kids at the camp meeting. He went with me. He told me all the way out there. He said, God's been dealing with me. He said, I used to preach just like you preach. But he said, I just drifted away. I just didn't get up one morning and say, I'm going a different direction. He said, I just drifted. And I find that's the way of most people. They don't get up and say, well, I'm gonna stop the way I'm living and I'm going a different direction. They drift away. He was telling me that how that he got back to his church, how he was going to go to preaching again and calling sin by name. That was during the summer. I don't remember what meeting it was, but the next year, got a call that a boy was on drugs walking down the street and shot him behind the ear, and it come out his temple on the other side and killed him. They had his funeral up there, but they brought him back to Tennessee, and we went to the funeral there. You know what his wife told me? She said, "Brother Parson, you would be so proud of Joe." Said the last 2 or 3 weeks, he's been preaching like the old brother Joe used to preach years ago. And when she said that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Yes, but he waited too late." I believe there's somebody here that God's been dealing with you about some things that you're not getting the victory over, and it's your fault. It's not God's fault. And whatever it is has won the victory in your life, and you know that you need to stop it, or maybe it's something that you need to do. I don't know what it is, but you're going on your own way, and you know down deep inside of your heart that you're not right with God.
Amen.
Oh, you're probably not out here drinking, running around. But there's something between you and God.
Amen.
Huh? You know what? That day's going to come. God's going to say, "That's enough." Amen?
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you something else. God does not every time kill you for what you do.
Yep.
You know the reason I'm standing up here preaching today is because I kept turning God away. And my little boy, 3 months old, died. That's what it took for me to get right. Are you listening? I'm just talking to you tonight about reality.
Yes, sir.
About life.
Yep.
Huh? Hey, God's no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for the other. And then, people dying in confusion. I preached a revival at this church, big old church. And there was two women in that church that practically every, I'm talking about old women that couldn't even hardly walk. Every day that just about they would go what they called soul winning. And they had went one day, and there was tornado warnings out, and they was in this little old house. They said, "Little old house." And there was a man in there that was crippled, and they was in there witnessing to him. And they heard the storm coming, and he begged them not to leave him. I didn't go over there, but they said it sucked the walls out of that house. And the top of it fell down on them. The two women got down beside of the wheelchair. And the wheelchair helped the roof up off of them. But the old man, it fell on him in the chair and killed him. And that night, when I got through preaching, that one old woman come wobbling down. And I'm talking about, she was real old, even older than me. Amen. And Brother Hall, if you're listening, she's older than you too. Amen. Gary Owen. She come hobbling down that hall, or aisle, just crying. She got in that altar and she prayed. She got up. You know what she said? She told how many years she had belonged to the church. She told how many people her and that other old woman had won to the Lord. And she said, "For the first time today, I realize that I was lost.
Mm.
She said, if I'd have died today, you ought to preach me in heaven. But in all reality, I'd have been in hell.
Mm.
Mm. Hello? You know, I could have preached all week, preached my heart out, and I'd have never reached that woman.
Mm-hmm.
It took God to get her and shake
That's
her
right.
and open up her eyes.
Right.
Hello? And I know I've got to close. But you know where I want to die? I want to die in Canaan.
Amen.
I want to die in victory. I want to die with glory in my soul.
Yes.
I want to die with my life meaning something. Hey, the greatest thing that could happen to me this weekend being here is for somebody to get saved.
Yes, amen.
Or maybe somebody get help some way or another.
Right.
Amen. God help us.
Yes.
I want to die. I want to die right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I want to die doing right.
Yes, sir.
Since I've had my health problems, I can't go like I used to. Remember back when everybody had a Christian school, you'd go preach in the Christian school. And then I remember I was in Greenville, South Carolina, and preached a revival meeting. And then every day I went and preached in a Christian school. And then on Saturday morning, when I got up to leave, I had to preach this fella's whole week's broadcast on the Tabernacle Station there.
Amen.
Amen. I can remember, boy, I was wrung out.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I used to go to this Bible college or university every year, twice a year, and preach, and they'd get credit for listening to me. Amen. In other words, they had to pay them to get them to stay. Amen. But I tell you what, I can't go like I used to. Sometimes I sit in my chair and I have to make myself get up to get a drink of water. Amen. But you know what? As long as I can, I want to keep on keeping on
Amen.
For the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You know what would thrill me more than anything else is helping you.
Right.
Doing something for you.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, we need to love people.
Sure.
We need to try to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, if I'd done it for the money, I'd still be plumbing now.
Yeah.
Amen. And I was getting into the industrial part of it. Amen. But you know what? God has took care of me all these years.
Amen.
He has supplied my needs.
Amen.
Amen. He never gives me any extra. I know if I get extra, there's something out there waiting on it.
Yeah.
God just sees it before I do.
Yeah.
Amen. But the joy to see people saved.
Amen.
I wish we could see revivals like we used to break out and run for weeks. See hundreds of people get saved. Wouldn't that be a blessing?
Amen.
Amen. And like I said this morning, if we would pray, if we would seek God's face, we could see that.
Amen.
Amen. How are you going to die? Has the Holy Spirit of God spoke to you in this message? When he spoke to you, did you try to push back what he was saying?
Right.
Hello?
Amen.
Hey, coming down to the closing hours of time.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm planning on going back home Tuesday, but I may never make it.
Right.
But I'm glad that I know that I know that I know where I'm going.
Amen.
May not be no great preacher, but I'll tell you what, I love the Lord.
Amen.
And I want to do right, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, sir.
There's pleasure in sin for a little season, but it's that little short window.
That's right. Exactly.
Amen. Yes, you sir. Go ahead and throw your life away if you want to. But I'll tell you, it's not worth it.
Right.
Amen. I look at all the young people that's here tonight. Usually if you do see a few young people, it's in the Sunday morning service. Amen. I see the percentage of the young people, young married couples, young people that's, I'm sure that's not married, teenagers, and the young couple sitting here with kids. It's unusual anymore. I tell you, just sell out and live for God and serve God.
Amen.
And die right.
Amen.
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 I want to die like a real soldier.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I wonder, while the pianist comes tonight, these illustrations that I brought to you over and over again tonight, which one of them will you fit into? Which one will you fit into tonight?
Amen.
Amen. How are you going to die? I'm ready to go.
Amen.
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 I tell you what, I'd like for y'all to pray for me that I'd still be able to go till he's ready for me.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You and I lost in Egypt. Is God going to have to kill you because you will not serve him as a child of God? Are you going to die in confusion? I tell you, some of the, or probably one of the greatest experiences that you could ever have is to watch a real child of God. I'm talking about a real saint of God. If you could watch one of them die with glory in his soul, I believe it'd change your life. Amen. While she plays and you just bow your head, I've done my best to preach to you tonight. Why don't you ask the Lord? Lord, show me where I'm at. Lord, help me. God, help me to die like a real soldier. As these have come tonight, people has kneeled in the pews. May not mean nothing tonight, but there'll come that day that it will. Thank you. Suave, play softly on the piano. I'd like for y'all to look up this way. You know, I look around, and I'm excited to see you young people with these little children. I'm glad that God saved us early. You know, my kids cannot remember anything about our life of sin. All they have ever known is church. Our daughter, Kim, was in church. 3 days old, and we took her to church. And we raised our kids in church. Matter of fact, we drug them all across the country. Amen. I'll tell you, young people, listen to me. Get your kids in church. Keep them in church. Keep them involved in church. And what's going on at the church? Have your kids there to be involved in it. I want to say I've enjoyed being here. Amen. Me and Brother Shepherd have been friends now for a long time. And I love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Blessings y'all been to.